and the power of his blood. I'm so glad that my freedom wasn't based on what I've done. His goodness and mercy and the power of the blood. So much power in the blood.
Let's stand as we sing this part.
To tell a story how I've overcome his goodness and mercy and the power of blood. I'm so glad that my freedom wasn't based on what I've done. His goodness and mercy and the power of blood.
Father, tonight we come to give you thanks and praise. We worship you because you are God and there's none like you. Lord, the grave that you laid in, you rose and now our sins are buried there. Thank you, Jesus, for the finished work on the cross you carried for me. I give you praise. But if you only knew me then, you would believe me now. The power of God that washes away my sins. The blood of Christ that cleansed me. Be with us tonight, Lord God. Lead us. Direct us. Touch our hearts tonight, Lord God, and turn our eyes towards Jesus. Help us to worship tonight. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. I know I've never done this before. Have the same song every night. But I thought of the words of the song goes with my story. Some years ago, we used to go around all over the main cities in Atlanta and down in Charlotte, North Carolina, and in Montezuma, Georgia. And I would share my story for his glory. A free meal and a story. People like food. And they like to hear stories. That's why we go to the movies. We like stories. And I thought, well, God has just shown me, just share your life, share your story. See, it's not something I've read, it's something I've lived. And we went across the country sharing my story for his glory in different parts of the country. I want to continue tonight under the umbrella. Gentlemen, if you're not married, you're looking for a wife, walk with an umbrella. It might help. It helped for me anyway. Well, I think it did. Maybe in the story you'll find out if it did. Anyway, well, three young ladies laughing and giggling and came and got sheltered under my umbrella. And we got in the same taxi and we were going in the same direction. Except one of them were going maybe another 2 miles two or three miles further. So I got off. The next day I came down to the same place, the same time. And then I saw them and I pretend, well, an accident happened. But I was standing there waiting to see because I knew the time they come from school. And there they were again. And there we got in the taxi again. In the same direction again. And the next day, and the next day, and then I would pass my stop and go 2 miles more. And get off with one of the young ladies, and then I walk home 2 miles. I tell you, love sometimes could be, yeah, I would walk home after she's home. I'm not walking back home because, you know, money was kind of scarce, so take a taxi back was a little more. It was costing at least, I think, a dollar or something like that for a taxi, maybe 75 cents. Anyway, so that happened for a while. And one of the young ladies, the one who was living further, we started to get a little attracted and we started talking. And then we started dating, kind of. You know, we didn't know anything about courting and all that Christian words you guys use. We just did the old-fashioned dating. You know, I love you, you love me, let's go out together. There was a problem. See, her mom had known some of my relatives, and they knew the area I lived, and it wasn't a good area. It was on the other side of the railroad tracks, and she didn't really care for us too much, but, you know, she had a daughter that was in love, and I carried myself as a nice man. I was working in the hospital, you know, feel like I was a doctor, but I was cleaning the streets in the hospital, but no one knew. When anybody I see coming, I used to drop my broom and run inside and sit in the office like I was working in there, you know. Making money, and things were going good, really good. And, well, it's a good time to say something happened, but it's too early. Anyway, something happened, but I'll continue. What happened is that she was getting ready for graduation. She was going to graduate from high school, go to college, or something else. So, and we're going to have a big graduation, and I just stopped calling her. And the relationship was broken. She went her way. I went my way. I didn't call her. She didn't call me. We didn't see each other. On my 20th birthday, no, I would have been around 18, 19 when we first met. On my 20th birthday, I had an uncle that lived in the U.S. I call him my uncle because, you know, when you're adopted in different places, everybody's an uncle. My fact, you know, in my country, you know, you're an uncle or grandpa, or you don't call an older man like you or me Daniel if you're this age or this height. Young children don't call people by their first name. It's uncle, mister, grandpa, auntie. Respect. Remember we talked about that last night a little bit. Respect. So if I would, like a young girl like you, and you would call him, you know, by his first name, oh, you're in trouble. He'll give it to you, and then you go home and you get a little more. There's a little, you know, get a little interest on it. Anyway, well, here it was. My uncle, as I call him, came from the U.S., and he wanted to celebrate my birthday. Had my 20th birthday. So we went to the marketplace to buy some stuff. And lo and behold, that same young lady, mother was in the marketplace. And her mother had known my uncle. And he invited this lady to my birthday party. And that night, that young lady came also. We didn't see each other for a long time. But here she came, and there's a couple other ladies in, you know, we were dancing and, you know, having. But then she came. And the fire rekindled. And we started seeing each other again. And again. And again. And again. I was 20 years old, and I was trying to keep myself from immorality, sexual immorality. I didn't want my child or children to end up the way I did. So everybody was doing it. Everybody was getting on, and I was on the streets hanging. We're taking drugs together, and but everyone thought I was also, but I wasn't. No one knew that I was what they call a virgin. 20 years old, on the streets. But then one day, something happened. And I'll tell you what happened. But before we even go into the message, I have another song that I wondered this group was going to sing, but we're going to play that song. Won't you listen to the words of the song? And then we're going to talk about two women tonight. We had three men. Tonight we're going to talk about two women. The first woman is the story of the alabaster box. The second one I'll tell you when the time comes.
My tears and dry them with my hands.
you in here tonight denied that Jesus touched me. You in here tonight when he wrapped his love all around me. Last night we talked about wanting to be loved, wanting to be accepted, wanting to fill that void, that hole deep down inside of us. Trying to fill it with all different things, with drugs and alcohol and women and money and whatever we think that can satisfy you. And the other night, it was a Thursday night in New York City, when Jesus wrapped his love around me. If you have your Bible with you, open it up to Luke, the 7th chapter. See, the last 2 days, yesterday and Sunday, and I know some of you young kids are a little disappointed we don't have a children's class, but tomorrow we'll have one. We saw a lot of candy wrapper all over the place, so figured we'll see what happens if you would clean up tomorrow. Maybe we'll continue on and do the wrapper, and you know, all right. And I'm really proud of you all in the front here. Not that we want to break families up, but hey, maybe we'll help some of the older ones to come up front. But you know, we talked about the prodigal son, and we talked about the older brother, and we talked about the father and the mercy and the love and the forgiveness. We talk about a celebration when one that was lost comes back. Tonight I want to talk about, okay, so we are back and God has given us by his grace and a new life. He turned us around. I want to talk tonight about praise. About praising, worshiping God, praise. So if you have your Bible with you, we're going to look at Luke, the 7th chapter, beginning at verse 36. A lot was happening before this. But in verse 36 of Luke 7 says, then one of the Pharisees asked him, Jesus, to come and eat with him. And he went to the Pharisee's house and sat down to eat. And behold, a woman in the city who was a sinner. I'll just underline that word if you have it in your Bible. Sinner. Was a sinner. We'll come back to that later on. When she knew that Jesus sat at the table in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster flask of fragrant oil and stood at his feet behind him weeping. She began to wash his feet with her tears and wiped them with the hair of her head. And she kissed his feet and anointed them with the fragrant oil. Now when the Pharisee who had invited him saw this, he spoke to himself, quietly to himself, he said, this man, if he were a prophet, would know who and what manner of woman this is who touched him. For she is a sinner. And Jesus answered and said to him, Simon, I have something to say to you. So he said, teacher, say. There was a certain creditor who had two debtors. One owed him 500 denarii and the other 50. And when they had nothing to which to repay, he freely forgave them both. Tell me, therefore, which of them will love him more? Simon answered and said, I suppose the one whom he forgave more. And he said to him, you have rightly judged. Then he turned to the woman and said to Simon, do you see this woman? I enter your house, you gave me no water for my feet, but she has washed my feet with her tears and wiped them with the hair of her head. You gave me no kiss, but this woman have not ceased to kiss my feet since the time I came in. You did not anoint my head with oil, but this woman has anointed my feet with fragrant oil. Therefore I say to you, her sins, which are many, are forgiven. For she loved much, But to whom little is forgiven, the same love little. Then he said to her, your sins are forgiven. And those who sat at the table with him began to say to themselves, who is this who even forgives sins? And then he said to the woman, your faith saved you. Go in peace. Let's unpack this story of this woman. The very first thing we see is Jesus was invited to come to a Pharisee house. And he always loved to be invited. Whenever he got invited, he was there. As a matter of fact, he loved when you invite him into your heart. He's always looking for an invitation. He was pleased that the Pharisee chose to invite him. Today also we invite Jesus in our heart and we do not honor him for who he is. We invite him to come and then we invite all different things to come also. It says she was a sinner. Simon says she is a sinner. We'll come back to that. Was she invited or did she come unexpected? I want you to understand this. Jesus was healing. People were getting, the blind was able to see. I mean, everything was happening. Jesus was famous. As a matter of fact, it's like, in today's world, some big movie star. And you hear he's in Craig's house and everybody's outside want to see him when he comes out because he's a famous man. I don't think it was just this woman. I believe there was many people out here waiting to get a touch from Jesus. Simon felt good. Jesus was at his house. And everybody was wanting to see him, wanted to touch him, wanted him to touch them. They were looking for healing. They were looking for bread. And this woman pushed her away through the crowd, I believe, and got into Simon's house. Uninvited. See, sometimes you gotta break the rules a little bit here when it comes to legalism and some of the things. You know, you're not allowed to go there. But she had a need to worship. Because what God had done in the flesh, what Jesus Christ had done, she wanted to worship him. She wanted to give him everything she had. All the words she had, she wanted to give it to him. It didn't mind what people say. Could you imagine people looking at her? Where's she going? Could they know? They knew she was. She was one of the sinners in town. They have known her. But they didn't know that there was a change in her heart and her life because Jesus Christ had touched her. But when she heard that he was there, she came. Maybe she had some fear of what may happen to her, but it didn't stop her. See, sometimes we are afraid of what people may say or what people may do. See, her family's coming now. But you know, sometimes we just got to brave it and just go. Just go. The next thing we see that, and she stood at his feet and began weeping. She came up from behind him. And when she came up from behind him, she started weeping. There's a song that says, I can only imagine what it would be like when I walked by your side. I can only imagine what my eyes will see when your face is before me. I can only imagine. Surrounded by your glory, what will my heart feel? Will I dance to you, Jesus, or in awe be still? Will I stand in your presence? Or to my knees will I fall? Will I sing hallelujah? Will I be able to sing at all? I can only imagine. Imagine coming and standing in front of a holy God. Think about Isaiah chapter 6.
5 chapters he was preaching, he was talking, he was doing things, and then King Uzziah died. And he found himself in the temple. And when he got into the temple, he saw the seraphims and the cherubims, and they were singing, "Holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, holy, holy." And the place was shaking. The presence and the power of God was there. And when he saw the presence of God and the power of God, he says, "Woe is me, for I am undone." You know, sometimes we think we just run up to Jesus, you know, and we get to heaven, we just run up and, hey, you tap him on the shoulder like, you know, he's a good friend of mine. I can only imagine what it would be like in his awesome presence, with his power and his glory. My God. In the book of Romans says, because all that knew him, meaning God, they did not glorify him as God, and they were not thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and foolish in their hearts were darkened. Romans 1:21, they exchanged the truth of God for a lie and worship and serve the creature rather than the creator who blessed them. For what God has done in your life and my life, we should be celebrating. We should be worshiping. See, sometimes we're concerned with someone else. Someone else may be watching us. They were all watching her. Could you imagine this woman weeping and crying and washing Jesus' feet, and people are looking at her like... One of the things I believe that God cannot do, one thing I believe he cannot do, is worship. He cannot worship because worship is always about someone who is greater than you. And there's no one greater than our God. So he cannot worship. But he loves when we worship. He loves when he prays. He enjoys the praises of his people. Let's talk about worship. In John chapter 4, remember the story of the Samaritan woman. Jesus met the woman by the well, and the story went on. And then she told him, she said, "And you guys, you all worship in, you know, up in Jerusalem, we worship in the mountain." And Jesus says, "The hour cometh, woman, when you will neither worship in the mountain or in Jerusalem." But God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Worship is not just singing. That's part of worship. It's your life. Not just Sunday morning, Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday. Are you worshiping God with the things that he has given you? Are you worshiping him with everything that you have? She broke the alabaster box, which is a sign from her to everyone that this man is the most important man of my life. This person who is God in human form is the one who loved me more than anyone and anything in the world. She broke the expensive alabaster box and poured a fragrance on Jesus' feet, declaring how much she loved him. Some say it's about a year wages. Some say it's only the rich folks could have that alabaster box. Maybe all the money she worked for and all the things she had done, she took all that money and put it in this alabaster box. And now she found someone that was greater than any she had met, was willing to give up everything, all the treasure she had, and poured it at his feet. And then went from the head to the feet. "Take her here and wipe his feet." Wiping with her here. And yet, the Bible tells us that a woman here is for glory. 1 Corinthians 11:15, "But if a woman has long hair, it is for her a glory, for her hair is given to her for a covering." Her head was to be covered at all times. And yet this woman took the covering off. Remember, this was This was a Jewish Pharisee house. They were very strong on the law. And she took it off because she found something greater. And she took it off her head and just her hair flowing. And she started to, with tears rolling down her face. She didn't have to go get water anywhere. She just started weeping and kissing his feet. Now, you want, thinking about kissing his feet is another story by itself. How many of you like washing feet, you know, feet washing? I mean, I don't mind the feet washing. Once you don't wash my feet, you know, I got some ugly looking feet, you know. I mean, ladies, you guys have it good, especially ladies in New York. They used to wash feet with stockings on. I thought that was amusing because the man, we took our socks off and washed feet. And then you get down to the gunk of things. But you remember, this was back then where people wear sandals. And there was all kind of dirt and mud. And you know, so that's why when you come to someone's house, they would have the servant come and wash your feet. And then anoint your head with oil. Dirty feet. And she was kissing on it. She didn't mind how dirty it was. Because the dirt that he had taken away from her doesn't compare to the little bit he had on his feet. She went to the level in worship where she laid everything on the feet of Jesus, including her glory, her ego, her pride, her self-esteem, and laid at his feet. Question now. What is very dear to you, my brothers and sisters, tonight? That is hard for you to lay down? Maybe your family background. Do you know the family I came from? You know, I'm a fourth generation Swatch and Chuba. What's all the big names? I'm trying to find names that is not here that I wouldn't offend you. But, you know, the family. You know, a family I came from. Maybe your qualification. You got an MSNG, LEP or something like that. Your experience. I mean, I got experience. You know, I'm no handyman. I'm the real deal. Qualified. Maybe your face or your appearance. Maybe your beauty. Your ego. Your worship. Is your worship centered towards God or is your worship centered towards yourself? Because sometimes we could worship ourselves. Maybe it could be me. It could be my preaching. Maybe your knowledge. What about your money? Your pride, your wisdom. What is the thing that's in you that is getting more glory than God? Glory belongs to God, and He alone is worthy of all the glory and praises. Come to the feet of Jesus. Lay that all down at His feet. Chad, we read that scripture this morning. Come to me, all you are tired and heavy laden. Come unto me, I'll give you rest. Take upon me my yoke. She uses expensive oil on his feet. Some might say it's a waste of money. In another time, it talks about, you know, the disciples said, oh, it's a waste of money. You could take that and you give that to the poor. And Jesus says, the poor will always be with you. But you have me for just for this little time. Just a little time. What about your beautiful home? Well, your beautiful home without worshiping Jesus is a waste of money. What about your time without worshiping God? It's a waste of time. Your effort and energy without helping, sharing the good news and taking the good news to people who do not know it, it's a waste of time. If your money is not helping in kingdom building, actually it's a waste of time. Because Jesus said, lay up for yourself treasures, not on this earth, but in heaven where moth and mold and rust and thieves do not come. Lay up for yourself treasures in heaven. That's where your worship should be. If you're song without Jesus, you're singing songs without Jesus, it's a waste of time. If you're teaching and Jesus is not the main focus of your message in church, your children, your family, that could be a waste of time. I'm going to get back to this woman in a little bit. Well, let me just go on here. Here we are. When the Pharisee who had invited him saw this, he spoke within himself. Didn't say it loud, didn't make a big, within himself. See, Jesus knew the intent of the heart. He didn't say it out loud, he said it within himself. Yet Jesus says, Simon, I have something to say to you. And he says, hey, master, lay it on, man. You're at my house, you give me nice food. What do you want to praise me for? And Jesus said to him, I came here and, first he told him about, if one man had $500 owing and one owed $50 and you forgave both of them, who would? And then he told him, he said, when I came here, you gave me no water to wash my feet. And this woman came and washed my feet with her tears. And then he came back and he said, when I came here, you didn't put give me a little bit of oil. And this woman anointed my head with oil, expensive oil. See, sometimes people see you the way you used to be. Jesus sees the way you are now. Simon saw that she is a sinner. Jesus says, no. She's been saved. We're going to run back to this in a little bit. But if you have a Bible, turn it a little bit here to Matthew, the 15th chapter. I want to look at another woman here. I told you last three nights we did three men. We're going to do two women tonight and two more tomorrow night. Matthew chapter 15, beginning at verse 21. When you get it, say amen. All right, we didn't get it yet. When you get it, say amen. Amen. All right, we're getting closer to it now. In Matthew chapter 15, beginning at verse 21, then Jesus went out from there and departed to the region of Tyre and Sidon. Behold, a woman of Canaan came from that region and cried out to him, saying, have mercy on me, O Lord, Son of David. My daughter is severely demon-possessed. Okay, let's unpack that a little bit here now. Woman came. Where was she from? Canaan. And she came to the region and she said, have mercy on me. She had respect. O Lord, Son of David, my daughter is demon possessed. And he answered her not a word. Have you ever had the silence of God? That could be difficult. Just silence of people. Child might know this one, but there was a man in New York City that I knew that you would ask him a question and sometimes you go on to another conversation and then he comes back to the first one and you wonder, did he really understand what I said? There was a silence. Sometimes you talk to him and he's just silent and you wonder, what's happening here, this guy? Does he need his hearing aid or you need a new battery? But think about when God is silent. God, just tell me yes or no. Just tell me. But the silence of God could be deafening. He answered her not a word. Give me a word, God. Just give me a word. And there was no word to be found. But his disciples came and urged him, saying, send her away. First, begin with, she wasn't talking to the disciples. They couldn't help her. See, sometimes you got a problem, or God told you something, and he gave you a vision of something, and somebody heard about it, and now they're coming to answer for God. I didn't ask you anything. If I wanted to, I would have come to you. I'm talking to God right now. Leave me alone. Yes, people always want to tell you what God says, what God says, what God says. If God were to say, you say to me, sometimes, yes, He do use people. But Jesus was right there. He was right there. And they said, Master, send her away. She's just crying after us. Send her away. And then He answered and said to her, I was not sent except to the lost sheep of Israel. Lost of Israel. And what did she do when it sounded like it wasn't what I wanted to hear? What do you do when God says what it does? I don't really want to hear that right now, God. First you were silent and now you're telling me something I don't want to hear. But yet she said, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Then she said, and worship Him, saying, Lord, help me. I'm not going to give up. I'm not going to give up. I don't care how big the problem is. I'm not going to give up. I'm right there, Lord. I'm right there. I need an answer from You, Lord. And then He answered and said, it is not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs. Wow, Jesus. That hits hard. I mean, you're a gentle Jesus. And you're talking about, she didn't even talk about dogs or hungry. It is not good to give the children's bread to the dogs. See, sometimes we get offended when God tells us something that we don't want to hear. But this woman had persistent faith. It wasn't even faith for herself. It was faith for her daughter. Her daughter was demon possessed. And Lord, You can do it. You can help me. My son has left home. Lord, You can help me. My husband is... And I could go on and on and on. Lord, help me. It is not good to take the children's bread. See, you don't even belong to this church or this religion. You're an outsider. What do you want here? Sometimes we can get so high and mighty. Sometimes we forget the one that comes. Jim Cimbala, pastor from Brooklyn Tabernacle, once shared a story that I always remember. He said it was Easter Sunday, and he had just preached a big message, and people came to the front, and people were weeping and confessing and sharing. And then he sat on the side of the stage, and he loosened his tie, and he sat there, and it was a long service. And then from the corner of his eye, he saw this homeless guy coming towards him. He said, oh, not now. And he said, you kind of looked at him, and the guy, the closer the guy come, he could smell the stinkness of the guy. He was just, he couldn't even breathe when the guy came close enough. And he said, he sat there and he thinking, okay, I did my part. I already did my part already. And he said to the guy, he says, listen, he put his hand in his pocket and he said, $5, and he handed it to the guy, you want something to eat? And the guy says, no. I don't want something to eat. I want that Jesus you're talking about. And he said, right there, God just hit him. And he started weeping. And the guy started weeping. He hugged the guy. And the guy hugged him. And the smell, that stinkness just left. The aroma was changed. Remember the prodigal son? Remember that story? Do you think the father smelled the pig pen? Love. He started loving on the man. The man loved it on him. Because he had just spoke about the Jesus that man wanted, but he wanted to get rid of the guy. The disciple wanted to get rid of the woman. He said, that man, they stood there. He said it felt like eternity. And they just hugged and wept. And later on, the guy started coming and Bible studies and became one of the junior pastors in the church. The mercies of God. It is not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the little girls. And she said, yes, Lord. Yet even the dogs eat the crumbs off the master's table. That alone blows me away. See, sometimes we want the whole bread. Lord, I want the bread. I want the whole bread. And she says, whatever is in the bread, whatever is in the crumbs is in the bread. If there's healing in the bread, there's healing in the crumbs. If there's deliverance in the bread, there's deliverance in the crumbs. If there's oil in the bread, there's oil in the crumbs. If there's salt in the... whatever it is. But if it comes from the master's table, I want it. I want it. It's from the master's table. No, I want the bread, Lord. I want the whole loaf. If you don't give me the loaf, I don't want anything else. See, I want that car. It's a 2023. I want that. And God says, no, I got a 2010 here for you. No, oh God, you're not talking about me, God. You know my fate now. And God is just saying, just wait. I got something for you. I got something for you. He says, even the dogs, yes, Lord, even the little dogs eat the crumbs which fall off the master's table. Then Jesus answered and said to her, O woman, great is your faith. Let it be to you as you desire. And her daughter was healed immediately. I would just take the crumbs. The crumbs is enough to give my daughter healing. The crumbs is enough for me to get that job I've been asking for. The crumbs is enough for whatever it is that my needs are in this life. The crumbs is enough if it comes from your table. I don't want the bread of the world. I'll take the bread off the master's table. I'll even take the crumbs off his table. Let's switch back here now to the first story. Two ladies. One had faith. Faith that wasn't going to move. She wasn't going to go away. She was persistent. I can't remember another story somewhere in the Bible where there was a man that would come and then he was crippled, and every time his friends would bring him and put him by the side of the well there or whatever it was, the little stream of water. And if you get in when the water starts, you know, when the angel touches and the water starts moving up and down, and you get in, you get healed. And every time he tries to get in, someone getting... did he stop coming? See, last month I came to God and I came to the altar, and look where I am today. He didn't stop. As a matter of fact, one day while he was here, Jesus came. And Jesus says, what do you want? He says, well, you know, Lord, every time the angel come and the water stirs up and I try to get in, you know, I'm a cripple. Somebody get in before me and they get healed. And the master was here. The chief physician was right here. And he was healed. Persistent faith. Don't give up. I don't care what it is. That father didn't give up in the story yesterday. He didn't give up. His son went, and the prodigal son went and did his thing, and he was waiting at home, praying and waiting until he saw him from a long way. Let's just go back and finish up here. We're almost done. Oh, overtime here today. Do you all pay overtime? No, just kidding. Just kidding. Don't laugh. It's not funny. Woman, your faith has saved you. Go in peace. Do you have faith? Do you have the worship? Last night, that was worship. When some of you stood up and give testimonies with tears, weeping, that was worship. You was worshiping God, and God was answering the prayer for someone else by your testimony. Singing alone is not just worship. That's part of worship. But again, your life is worship. And this woman laid out everything. All her pride, all her ego, all her shame, her guilt. She just laid it on him. And the most expensive thing she had. Quick story. I've got 2 minutes. Remember the story I told you of the woman at the well? Remember Jesus talked about one day, you know, God is a spirit, and worship him, must worship him in the spirit and in truth. When she came to the understanding of who Jesus was, when she came to the understanding of that living water that he had to offer, the thing that was so important to her that day, the water, her bucket, the Bible says she left her bucket and ran back to the city. When you find the true and living water, that temporary water doesn't make any sense anymore. She ran back to the city and said, come see a man who have told me all things. Could he be the Christ? I won't get into that story because I may use that sometime this week again, but she went out witnessing. That's worship. Sitting in church on Sunday is good, but do you go outside and share the gospel with others? Do you share the good news? On Friday, I want to talk about compassion versus being sorry. What does it mean to be sorry, and what does it mean to have compassion? Was Jesus always sorry, or did he have compassion? We're going to pack that on Sunday. So let's stand. What is holding you back today from giving God all your worship? Is it fear of man, fear of people, what he may say, what he may think of you? What is stopping you? You start worshiping and start weeping and start crying and start crying out. People looking at you. You gotta behave yourself. No, this is not a Pentecostal church. You know, we gotta be, you know, hey, this is, you know, this is where you do it. And God is speaking to you and you're just weeping. And the woman was just weeping. And everybody was watching at her. But she was worshiping. Don't look at what somebody else is doing that you should be doing. If God called you to worship, worship. He called you to praise Him, praise Him. Because He desired the praises of His people. Let us pray. Father, tonight we give you thanks and praise. Thank you for your word. Thank you for the example of these two women. One had faith to believe. No matter what, she will have persistent faith. Even, Lord, when you say that it is not good to give the children's bread to the dogs, she said, yes, Lord. But I need help. Yes, Lord. The dogs, the little dogs, eat the crumbs of the master's table. And I'll take whatever you have to give to me. And then, the woman that broke the barrier, broke some of the rules and went into a man's house. She wasn't even invited. A Pharisee. But she wanted to worship, and nothing was going to stop her from giving him praise. Nothing or no one. No circumstances. No matter who were looking and who were talking, she was just going to praise him. She was going to worship him. Again, your life should be a life of praise and worship to God wherever you go. Not just here on Sunday, not here every night when we sing songs, but every place you go, be a testimony for Jesus Christ. Father, tonight we give you thanks and praise. We give you the glory. We give you the honor. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for examples like these so we can look. Examine our hearts, O God, and see if there's anything we are withholding from you. Maybe it is too expensive. Maybe it takes too much time. Maybe because of my ego. Because of my experience, my knowledge, my education. Whatever it is, Help us to just cast it at the feet of Jesus and say, Lord, I just want to worship you. Father, tonight we thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Last night I tried, I was all feeling bad. You know, we had testimony time. We went on and on and on. And then after we finish up here, you hang out for another half an hour, 45 minutes. So tonight, we're going to spend a little more time. It's still early. It's only 7:45. Give me another 5 minutes. And I told you the Chitons were going to be here tonight. And I also told you before that they were running late. And I don't know if they have a song for us still. But if they have a song for us, we'll take a song before. They're kind of like, you know, the Bible said be ready at all times. Oh, this guy, I said 5 minutes, he gave me 10. Thank you, sir. Thank you very much. Appreciate it. Can I get another now? It's not like an auction, right? I just got 5. Yeah, they surprised me some time ago, and the two girls got me a song that I wasn't expecting that I had talked to them about. Come on up. Come all the way to the top. Now, they normally have a little musical background. Do you have that, or you can give us one in a cappella? All right, okay. See, be ready at all times with whatever. So I'll let them do that, and then we'll introduce the family to you.
Pleasure to be here with you. It's always a pleasure to be with the Pollards. I'm going to pick a song that we feel fits with the message. And I just want to encourage you that, you know, God hasn't brought us this far to leave us behind. He hasn't, you know, put us on this earth in vain. He has given each of us a purpose, and we will fulfill that purpose in His will. Once He says yes, it's always a yes. The devil can't do anything about that.
Nobody told me the road would be easy, and I don't believe. can see clearly. I know that you are with me, so I just can't give up now. I've come too far from where I started from. Nobody told me the road would be easy, and I don't believe he's on me this far.
Good evening. Well, with us today, we have both of our parents, Blaine and Karen Chaitin, who are on your left. Mom, Dad, if you could give them a wave or stand up. And then my name is Kezia. I am the oldest. I am 24 years old.
My name is Keandra. I'm the second. I'm 23 years old.
My name is Jesse, and I'm the third child, and I'm 21.
My name is Jaden. I'm the fourth. And I'm 18 years old.
My name is Carlena, and I am the fifth child, and I am 15.
So if you have one more song, you're going to sing one of the views written and stuff on NASA. Oh. If you've been a gospel expression of the sea, then.
Trade.
saints and dead.